the subject of work. Work. Designed by God, created us so that we would enjoy work. And work, by the way, applies to the students, you know, working moms, home moms, whatever you are. It's work, whatever kind of occupies our waking hours. God wants us to be his people at work, wherever life finds us. And work is a wonderful thing. So we're going to look at that this morning. And why don't you go in your Bibles to our text in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. There's a counterpart in Colossians 3, but Ephesians chapter 6. And let's look at verse 5 through 9. You know, it uses the word slaves to begin that. We want you to think of the work relations of today. So slaves would be like employees. So we're going to talk about employees this morning, but we're also going to give a word for employers. So we're going to talk about those of us who work as an employee, and then we're going to have a word as well for those of you that are our bosses. And we hope that some of the Word of God hangs on everyone's heart here as to the type of people Jesus wants us to be at work. So Ephesians 6 and 5, it says, slaves, obey your employer, your earthly masters. You notice it says there's earthly because we only have one master, that's Christ, right? So this is the earthly master. With respect and fear and sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Okay, hold it now. I'm supposed to obey my boss like I obey Christ? I mean, he's not Christ. But all powers are of God, aren't they? Okay. Obey them. So he has to repeat it. So he says, obey them once. Now he says, obey them, not only to win their favor, when their eye is on you. Colossians says, don't do it as men pleasers with their eye on you. In other words, you don't be a good student at school just because the teacher's eye is on you. It's going to teach you that someone else's eye is on you. Okay. Their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. So now, if I want to do the will of God in my life, I have to be what Jesus wants me to be at work. And I have to be treating my employees as Jesus would want me to. And I get to do the will of God. So the will of God is important on Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, as much as on Sunday. But anyhow, let's continue on. Serve wholeheartedly, Colossians says, with all your heart, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he be slave or free. And then, of course, you bosses, you masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. There ain't no favoritism with him. Let's pray. Father, this is the Word of God. All Scripture was breathed out by you. It's highly profitable, God. It's breathed out by you. It's for our teaching. To reprove us, Lord. But not just to leave us there, but to correct us. And to instruct us all, each of us, in righteousness. That we may be complete, thoroughly furnished to every good work. Lord, these dear people are here this morning because they want to honor you. And you've told us to work 6 days a week, so that's around this morning, work. But you've told us to rest as well. And I thank you that this is a part of a day of rest at least. And I pray the rest would be your blessing on their heart today. To fill their tank, so they go forth from here, Lord, to do the will of God in their life. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may behold wondrous things out of your law. Take all the glory, and Lord, let the words of my mouth be yours, and the meditations of my heart truly be acceptable in your sight. Thanks, Jesus, again, for the time we have together. Speak to our hearts as we give this to you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I've entitled the message, Serving Jesus on the Job. Okay? Serving Jesus on the Job. In my introductory comments, good scriptures to go home with, God created work. Okay? He created work, and it was before sin entered the world, God created work. So he made you and I to function better if we work, better if we do our schoolwork, and he made us to function in a much better way than if we were not doing it. So God led man to his first job right after creation, and it was a joyful thing. But then sin entered the world, and work became hard. The ground itself revolted as it was cursed, and the weeds came forth, and work became more and more difficult. But also, what was hit hard was relationships. And this is where sin is so readily seen, in relationships. You ever heard the term, where the rubber meets the road? Where the rubber meets the road, kind of like when the tire is tested on the road. Where the rubber meets the road is where your faith meets your workplace, where your faith meets your home life. And so the thing is I want to kind of share with you is there's a wrong perspective that we have as Christians. And the wrong perspective is that there's a division between my faith and where I work. There's a division between Jesus and work. It came on the news a number of years ago of a businessman, and he owned these stores. And the stores had pornography shelves where they could sell this garbage. And the man was a Christian. And so they actually interviewed him, and they asked him, they said, how do you harmonize your faith and you're selling this garbage? You know what he said? He thought he was given the right answer. With an audience, of course, of even some ministers. He said, well, that's simple. I just separate my business from my faith. But maybe that's something that you and I do. We somehow think we can dress one way and dress there a different way. We can speak one way on a Sunday. But at work, wow. So anyhow, kind of know where I'm going to go in here, don't you? So there needs to be some right thinking. And the right thinking is there ain't no division between Jesus and work. Faith and work. And if you got your Bible, can you kind of keep your finger in Ephesians 6 and as well in Colossians, because they're counter passages, as it were. Okay, Colossians 3 as well as Ephesians chapter 6. So kind of flip back and forth maybe a bit during the service, okay? And in Colossians chapter 3, look at this down in verse 24. It says this, whatever you do, of course, do it heartily, but verse 24, it is the Lord Christ you're serving, the last six words there, it is the Lord Christ you're serving. So you are serving the Lord Christ at your job. Some of you see right now think that you're working for your boss. I'm here to tell you this morning, you need to get it straight. There is no division in your work, when you're working for Jesus, and you need to switch bosses. Your boss is Christ. You still have a supervisor, but your boss is Jesus. So to be effective in the workplace, you need to realize that your boss is Jesus Christ, whatever job that you are in. So the other guy is just your supervisor. Oh, by the way, if Jesus is my boss, I will serve him with all my heart, like Colossians 3:23. Do it with all of my heart. If I build furniture, then if I build furniture and I'm a Christian and I realize Jesus is my boss, I am going to make a better piece of furniture. I'm going to do a better job because Jesus is my boss. We won't go to the passage, but there's different passages in the scriptures like Proverbs 27:18 that tells us we're to make our boss successful. We're to make our supervisor successful at work. That's our job. My job is to make my boss shine. Make his job. Honor him. You see, if I got a boss, and my boss now is Jesus, how am I going to honor him? So it's the right perspective to begin with. Okay, for the employee now, we're going to kind of throw these things out for the employee. I'm to honor him, my true boss, but I'm to see my place of work as a mission field. And get it in your mind that where your work is a mission field as much as Africa was a mission field to Mark and Catherine Buhler. That's what the Bible teaches. But you would think it's much more spiritual to do something for Jesus, not here, but overseas. Jesus wants you to see yourself. How about this? You see yourself as an undercover missionary for Jesus Christ on special assignment. Undercover missionary for Jesus on special assignment. I like the story in Luke 5, and go home and read Luke 5. But Peter has a couple of boats. He's in the boat business. He's in the fishing business. And Luke 5, Jesus does. He comes in and he takes over Peter's boat and he uses it for a pulpit. He takes over Jesus' boat and uses it for a pulpit. And the idea came across to my mind is that Jesus wants to move into wherever we work. He wants to be our boss and he wants to use it for a pulpit. Now, not to stand up there and be what you hear here, what Randy does, as it were, but it's to live for Christ where you are and realize you are where God has placed you. And it's a very important place because it is there you can do the will of God, and is there Jesus wants to use your occupation for a pulpit. Maybe there should be a sign on your desk that says, "Divine tasks performed daily here." Or, "My desk is my altar." The best thing you can do is let the people at work know that you love Jesus. So tomorrow when you're at work or at school or wherever you're at, and it's lunchtime, what do? You don't scratch your head and kind of say a prayer. You just park yourself beside someone, quietly bow your head. Thank God for the food. But your prayer list every day should be those you work with. Get up in the morning. I always pray first for, like, I glorify God. Then I pray for my dear wife, Sandy. And I pray for our family. And then I pray for those I work with by name. And I'm asking you to do that because that'll kind of get the mission assignment going into you. Missionary assignment. There's a painting by Miller called Angelus. It's a neat painting. You've seen it where there's two peasants and they're praying together. It's kind of like at the end of the day and they're bowed down as it were. And there's a church steeple in the background. And then there's light falling from heaven. But the light falling from heaven doesn't fall on the church. The light falling from heaven doesn't even fall on these two peasants. But the light falling from heaven falls on the wheelbarrow. And it falls on the pitchfork. God's eye falls on the work of our hands. It tells God a lot about us, how we work, especially when someone is not watching. Especially when our supervisor is not watching. Our let's just go up a sec here. Your work is a tool to craft your character. Okay? Your work is a tool to craft your character. You want to be successful at work? Work at your relationships, those you work with. And work becomes God's tool to work on me. Okay? God works on me through other people. They become like heavenly sandpaper. Ephesians 2:10, we are his project. We're his masterpiece. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus before the world began. And he wants us to live out our faith so he can work in our hearts. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We're his masterpiece. And he uses work to kind of work on us. There's a little button that I heard a speaker share that he was wearing on his lapel. And it was a button with those letters PB, PWM, GIN, FY, MY. And a little button is all, it said a bunch of clutter of letters, and he wore it home. And his wife and son were looking at him and said, "What does that mean, Daddy?" And he says, "It's a button that just says, please be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet." Be patient with others at work. Be patient with yourself, but have the patience of God and the goodness of God, the love of God. Have a holy place of work. And kind of a neat thing, the kid took that, the story was told that the young son took that to his school the next day, and he wore that button. And the teacher said, "What does that mean?" He said, "You've got to be patient with my dad. God ain't finished with him yet." But it means that God's working on us, okay? Now, the last thing is, you notice look at Colossians 3 and verse 24. Work with all your heart, Colossians 3:24, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, okay? Jesus is going to reward you for how you do at work. He's going to mark you. It's going to be a great reward. You're going to be in the winner's circle. And it's required of a steward that he be found faithful to faithfully work. Let it be said when I meet someone you work with, let it be said, "Yeah, you know, I work with that guy. And, you know, that man lives his faith." And, you know, when everyone else gets mad, you don't hear that blasphemous language coming out of his mouth. I used to work as well, by the way. I was in the field. I worked out in the world. I still work, but I used to work in civilian life, and I worked 7-8 years in the Air Force. And I actually had one guy said to me one time, Bill, he said, "Randy, how come you don't swear?" See, it became a witness. How come you don't swear? It became a silent little witness for you. Christ will reward you for your work. And so there will be a day when the unknown will be known. And the small will be great. The forgotten will be remembered. The unnoticed will be crowned regardless of your place of work. Whether it is sweeping up your office or whether it is running your office, whatever it is. There's a reward coming. And so I encourage you. So one person wrote, "Master, where shall I work today? My love flowed warm and free." He pointed to a tiny plot and he said, "Tend that for me." But I said, "Oh no, not here. No one will see, no matter how well my task is done. Not that little place for me." But his voice in kind said, "Search your heart of mine." And the question is this, God says, are you working for you Or are you working for them, your company? Or Jesus says, are you working for me? And he said, Nazareth was a tiny place, and so was Calvary. Okay, the employer. Let's just give a few minutes for the boss. You notice in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9, here it is. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Treat your employees in the same way. In other words, all I've been speaking of how the employee should treat the boss, as it were, a supervisor, we are to treat those who work with us with the same respect and the same love. So, as they are to make us successful, we are to make them successful as well. You notice it says there, not with threatenings. Do not threaten them. Fear-based leadership breeds contempt and even might breed sabotage. You know, it ruins your relations. So don't threaten your employees. Keep in mind, Paul says, don't you know that he's your master? So the employees have one master, Jesus. We have one master, Jesus. We have the same master. Keep your commitments. Keep your promises. Be dependable. Here's some questions for the boss. Am I setting a good example as a Christian? Am I treating people as I would want to be treated or as I was treated when I was an employee? Do I have thick skin? Do I take responsibility to share credit? Today there's a big football game going on, and what's really neat to see sometimes is the quarterbacks. And then they blow it. They ruin that. It's a failure. They've lost the game. And they come up and they say to the quarterback, hey, what went wrong? What went wrong, Aaron Rodgers? And he says, well, I just kind of blew it. I wasn't on with my passes. Didn't do it well. And he takes responsibility. But then the same time they interviewed Aaron Rodgers on his many victories, and they said, hey, you scored 5 touchdown passes. I mean, that was almost like unheard of. That's wonderful. And then he says, well, you know, the offensive line really did their job well. And then he says, Jennings and Driver, they could catch anything. You notice what he does? He shares the credit, takes responsibility, bosses, but then he shares the credit. Something you should do. Let's grab on a couple principles here. Okay? Let's kind of bring it down to where we're at, where the rubber meets the road. This is important for every one of you here. Do not devalue your job by virtue that it's called low on society's totem pole. Do not devalue your job. Every job is important. We have a little philosophy going where for ministry, and it has a bunch of L's. It's one of our values. We want to make sure that we minister to those who are little in this world, to those who are least in this world, to those who are lonely in this world, of course, to those who are lost in this world, and to those who are last in this world. If you're last in this world, and you're not on the society's level of what they say is a great job, realize that your job is just as important as the highest job on society's totem pole. So number one, don't devalue. Number two, what we do matters. What we do matters. Everything matters. Someone cleans the hospital with a mop, with a broom. I try to go by and stop and talk to each of these at the hospital. And I say, how are you doing? Fine. What do you want? You know, I just want to say hi to you. I want to thank you for cleaning this hospital. What would the doctors and nurses do if you weren't cleaning this hospital? Are you a doctor? No, not a doctor. Yeah. I want to thank you for your job. So what we do matters. Hear me out here. We are all servants of Christ, whether we be employers or employees. We serve Him. And if we take God seriously, He is the origin and recipient of every act. He's the origin and recipient of every act. So all of our work takes on a new meaning, and our treatment of people changes. Work will be done with care, not just to get by. People will be nurtured, not used. You and I have a chance to be Jesus Christ to this city. And the place to start, of course, is your house. But we're on work today. So you have a chance to be Christ tomorrow. Realize you're an undercover missionary agent on special assignment tomorrow. Here's an example. Teachers. A teacher could easily go through the routine, present the material, grade the tests, go home. That's fulfilling the contract. But that wouldn't be enough. If a teacher teaches as to Christ, as Colossians teaches us here, teaching is no longer a job. It's the care and nurture of souls. It's excellence in teaching thought, but it's joined to the value of the person. Here's a point for your thinking this morning. The secular school teacher can get the same reward as the Christian school teacher. Because you get the reward not by virtue of position, but by virtue of faithfulness, by virtue of godliness, by virtue of holiness, by virtue of love. And so it will be that the first will be last and the last shall be first in somebody's life, like a man like me or like preachers who have the platform, they have it all, and that they're somehow accorded. There's something about platform personality. And then there's that pastor, though, is not faithful. That pastor has a two-way agenda in life. And then there's that faithful person who is the usher, the greeter, and no one sees that person, but they're faithful, and the first will be last, the last will be first. Don't kid yourself, the scripture teaches that. It's faithfulness, it's godliness, and it's not the position. Okay, how about a waitress? She could give menus, take orders, bring food, maybe enough. But if she's a Christian and she's serving Christ, she'll value herself and the people she serves. Here's my last lesson. I'll read it. To what audience do we play? To what audience do we work? Who are we seeking to impress? You see this. We act in direct response to the audience we think is watching. We act in direct response to the audience we think is watching. The more we care about the audience, the more diligent we are. We work hard if the boss is watching. We dress carefully if certain people will see us. We guard our tongue in certain groups, but if the audience is not present, we don't do the same effort. Well, the boss is gone. We'll play. We'll play. May you remember in closing today, may you remember only one audience. The audience that is always present, always watching, always listening. Let's not play to a secondary audience. We're called to honor God in truth and love. Colossians ends it by saying, we serve the Lord Christ. Honor those you work for. Honor those that work for you. Stand up and be a Christian. Where the rubber meets the road, let those tires sound good. For Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, it's a joy to know you, love you, serve you. Thank you, we can take Christ to Campbell River. not with an evangelistic campaign, but by the love and mercy of Christ, to treat others as we've been treated, even by you. You've told us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. Our neighbor is the man we work with. Lord God, may we be you to them. Keep our ear to the ground and hear when they have need in their life, and to be present to be Jesus to them in their hour of love, their hour of need, so we can love them. Bless us as a church, we ask in thy name. Amen.